Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. He is faithful, and here we are again. How exciting is that? Last night was exciting. Assisted Sister Debbie ministered the Word of God to us, and it was just wonderful, just so wonderful. And it is exciting always when we're in God's house. We don't have to be here. We choose to be here in God's house, and He honors that. Tonight we're continuing with Joseph, Here Comes That Dreamer. And I feel like that God has showed me some things that are so out of the box tonight that are just, I had never seen this before in my entire life, some of this stuff. So we're going to get into some of this. But I'm going to review real quickly and tell you a story. First of all, Joseph was, I've said this before, but Joseph was safer in the pit than he was with his brothers, okay? Sometimes you're safer in an uncomfortable situation than you are with those familiar, your family. He was safer in the king's prison than he was in Potiphar's house, actually. And I'm just making sure real quick that I have what I wanted to share with you real quick. Yes, I do. he was safer. I write notes all over the place here. He was safer in the king's prison than he was at Potiphar's house. So I want to say that sometimes our uncomfortable situation, the one we're complaining to God about, is actually God's protection. And I want to tell you a story that I heard just recently. I actually saw the entire video of it. There's this woman who was a spirit-filled woman, okay? She is spirit-filled, and the reason I know that is because she said at some point in the video that I was praying in the spirit. So I know she's spirit-filled. And so she was having a terrible, terrible day, like we all do sometimes. It literally seemed to her like nothing was going right at all. And she was sort of half complaining to God about, you know, why isn't anything going right? So she stopped at the grocery store and she got her groceries and she went to her car and she didn't have her keys with her and the car was locked. And so she became very, very frustrated. So she went back into the store with her groceries and was walking around the store and was going to call someone and realized also that her phone was dead. So she has no keys, her phone is dead, she's had a really, really rough day, and, you know, complaining all the while, and she goes up to several people and said, did you find keys? Goes up to the manager, did you find keys? To the produce lady, did you find keys? No one's found keys, but the lady in produce told her, said, go back to your car and see if the keys are in the car. She goes back to her car, the keys are not in the car. In the process, at some point, in the delay of getting all, you know, her groceries and yada-da, she feels in her pocket, which she had felt before and there was no keys. The keys are in her pocket, so she gets in the car, loads her groceries, and goes. And is in traffic. Things are bad. Things are just, it's one of those days, literally. But she's a Christian. At some point, she was praying in the spirit. Remember, I said her phone was dead. She proceeds to plug in her phone to begin to charge her phone. And after a few minutes of charging her phone, she realizes that she's got 20, 25 messages from her husband from all kinds of people. Don't come home. Whatever you do, don't come home. Don't come home. There's an active shooter in front of our house right now. Do not come home. By the time that she did get home, two people were dead right in front of her house, in front of her door. At that point, she absolutely knew my uncomfortable situation, my circumstances of the day were orchestrated by God. I'm not saying that God causes bad things, but I am saying that God will allow bad things to happen. If it's going to save your life, Frida, do you care if you're a couple minutes late to get to the shooting? I don't think so. I think, but that's what we have to, so sometimes when we're in a uncomfortable life situation, I know I have one in my own life where I'm estranged from someone, and I felt like that at some point my daughter Sandra had had a dream, and I felt like that God was speaking to me saying, this is my divine protection. I must break this connection now for protection. This divine separation is a protection of God for you because you don't want to be involved in what's going on. If you knew that God was in it, you could deal with it better, right? You could smile. She might have decided to stay in the grocery store a little longer. And that's the situation that we see in the story of Joseph, correct? And, you know, I'm sure he felt uncomfortable in Potiphar's house. I'm sure he felt uncomfortable in the prison. But I have some words that I wanted to give you. I just jotted them down a few minutes ago. They are pit was the first. Prison was the second. Third is God's protection. Fourth is promotion. And five is the palace. And that's where you and I want to end up, in the palace, right? So we might have to face a pit. We might be falsely accused and be thrown in a prison. But that is God's protection. So acknowledge it and accept that God will eventually promote you all the way to the palace, to heaven. So it's okay if we're in those situations. And Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of a sex crime. That is a terrible thing, by the way, to falsely accuse someone of a sex crime. I've told the story here before where a girl and her parents were getting a divorce, and the mother talked the girl into saying that her biological father had committed incest against her. And this man, it took almost 30 years to get him out of prison, even though they both went and recanted because they thought, no, there's something more to this. This girl told the story when she was very young, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. You don't do that. So Joseph was falsely accused of a sex crime by Potiphar's wife and was thrown in jail. But can we praise him when we're in our pit? Can we praise him? Sometimes praise enters in as a way out of the pit too. And like I talked about yesterday, when Paul and Silas, their backs were lacerated, they praised God. And literally their chains fell off. God was like, wait a minute, they're praising with lacerated backs? These chains got to go. And God, the chains fell off, but not just their chains, other people. Your praise and your worship of God might affect other people and their chains might come off. But it's even better than that. Even the jailers, the captors' chains, he got set free. And so Joseph is going to learn some things, but this is, you know, Joseph was put in the king's prison, but the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him, it was mercy, by the way, that he was in the king's prison. I've talked about that already. I won't go into that again. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Wherever you go, Joseph had favor even when he was in the pit and the brother. Favor of God is something that's from God. It's not of people. It's not about people. And so the favor follows you. The situation may not be favorable, but you have the favor of God. So the Lord was with Joseph, and now Joseph is in charge of the prison. And I like to say it like this. The very first prison ministry in the entire earth was Joseph, director of prisons. It was. This is the first recorded prison ministry. And so I think he's pretty powerful. And so Joseph had favor in the prison for one reason, because favor follows you. And people respond to the favor of God. They're not responding to you. They're responding to the favor of God that's on the inside of you. And Joseph loved God. And he hated sin. He didn't want to sin against God. Remember, he told Potiphar's wife, the one thing he said, he never said, I don't want to sin against you, Mrs. Potiphar, and I don't want to sin against Mr. Potiphar. He said, I don't want to sin against God. And so let me tell you something. To honor God, God will honor you. It kind of reminds me of Joseph in our church. Most of you know who I'm referring to, who we went in a courtroom one time. Pastor Ken and I were there and some other people. And we met with the attorneys before we were going to go speak before the judge. I actually had an opportunity to speak on Joe's behalf. And when we were there, one of the attorneys said to Pastor Ken and I, ask for this particular prison. And we did. I look at that as Joseph in the king's prison for this reason. It was a beautiful prison where he went and served, I think, 4.5 years. He served. It was the one where Governor Ryan and, like I said, all of our other governors were there. They're always there. There's always some kind of governor there. And it had a running track. And I mean, it was just beautiful. Pastor Ken and I used to say, boy, we could use a break. Man, just, you know, can we hang out here? You know, we'd see him running around the track. Hi, over here. And we're thinking, we got to go back to the city, back to work. And he's just going to hang out, you know. But anyway, I call that favor of God, because the favor of God follows God's people, right? So Joseph's in this prison, and again, I say to you that Joseph represents Christ. I also want to say to you something else that might be something you've not heard. Maybe you have. The butler and the baker actually represent the two thieves on each side of the cross. One of them is going to be condemned, and one of them is going to be completely exonerated and set free. The butler and the baker had both offended the king. They were both guilty, just like the two men on the cross. They were both guilty. And the king eventually is going to let one of them go. While they were both in prison, the butler and the baker, and I've titled this segment of the message, The Butler and the Baker. How creative is that? And so while they were both in prison, they both had dreams. Well, Joseph is accustomed to dreams, but I want to tell you something about this. Joseph's dreams have not come true yet, but here's the thing. When my own dreams, I have dreams in my heart. You have dreams in your heart. But when your dreams don't come true, are you still willing to minister to others who are having dreams and help them with their dream? Are you still willing to do that, help someone else with their dream, even though yours isn't coming true yet? And Joseph came to the, because he's good with prison ministry, good at what he does, Joseph came into them in the morning and he looked at them and he saw that they were sad. Now he could have said, who cares? You're in prison, be sad all you want. But he didn't. He checks on them and he says to them, why are you so sad today? This is true ministry here, the ministry of Christ. And they said to him, because we have dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Yeah, there is no interpreter for it, but there is God, and he knows how to interpret dreams. I love this. And Joseph said, well, go ahead and tell me the dream. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought ripe grapes. You know grapes make wine, correct? The fruit of the vine. Hold this thought. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh. I'm going to give this to the king. Blood, wine. And immediately Joseph knew. By the way, Joseph was not just a dreamer. He was also an interpreter of dreams, because way back he knew what his dreams meant. And Joseph said to them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches represent 3 days, 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore you to the place that, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup again into his hand after the former manner when you were his butler. This is amazing. The butler is going to get his old job back in 3 days. He's going to be resurrected in 3 days. He's going to be in paradise. He's going to be resurrected. Verse 14, this is Joseph. This is very touching, by the way, and we're going to talk about this. But think on me, this is Joseph speaking, when it shall be well with you, and show kindness. And by the way, the word here is hesed. This is the kindness of God. I pray thee to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me here in this dungeon. I have thoughts, but we're going to share them in a few minutes. Joseph's told his story, and here's why. He has compassion for these two people. He believes that the butler can relate to him. The butler has been accused and should be, he's in prison too. We're all in prison. We can relate to each other, right? And especially when what Joseph says about his dream finally comes to pass, he literally tells them interpretations belong to God. Every word, everything that comes out of Joseph's mouth is about God, honoring God. Verse 16 says, the chief baker saw the interpretation was good. That's good stuff. That's good, good. And he said to Joseph, I also in my dream was in my dream. I had three baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of bakery treats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. When I read, birds did eat out of the basket on my head, that doesn't sound good. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head, lift up again, off of thee, and you shall hang on a tree, and the birds shall eat your flesh from off of you. You have to be pretty bold to tell someone the interpretation of a dream like that. But if God is, you have to tell the truth. The good truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the uncomfortable truth. And I seen that and I thought, oh, wow, you know, Pharaoh's not eating the treats. The birds are eating the treats and this is just not good. We know that this happened on the third day, and we also know something else, that this was Pharaoh's birthday. And by the way, the word Pharaoh just means ruler, and there was a lot of people that you hear in the Bible, Pharaoh, they were ruler. Herod, same thing. So here, it just is so unfair, all of this, that Joseph's in the prison. Yet did not the chief butler, this makes me so angry, remember Joseph, but he forgot him. This is awful. Joseph helps you. He tells you your dream. It's good. You know that dream was, interpretation was from God. You know he's a man of God. And you know now, by now, that your baker friend is dead. And both dreams have come to pass. And you totally forget the work of God and the person that God worked through. And, you know, Joseph, here he sits in the prison still. How can you do that, somebody who's helped you? But here's the lesson for us here, is that if someone who could help you doesn't help you, God will still help you. God will still help you. And even if those who you were faithful to forget your faithfulness, God is still faithful, and he will not forget you or your faithfulness, either one. And so we're starting with chapter 41 tonight for just a few minutes. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. So basically, I know now that the butler has forgot him for 2 years. You don't remember me. You never think about the dream thing when you go to work in the morning that I shouldn't be here. But he didn't. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Let me tell you the dream. There came up out of the river 7 fatted cows. They ate in a meadow. Behold, 7 other cows came up after them, skinny cows, and stood by the other cows. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and then Pharaoh woke up. Simple dream. A little weird if you ask me personally. Then he had a second dream. 7 ears of corn came up. One stalk was good. They were good, and 7 little ears that got blasted with the east wind came up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 full ears of corn, and Pharaoh woke up. Also a little weird, but very have some similarities. So you need to know, first of all, that he had these dreams, these 2 dreams in one night. That in itself is significant. That's sending, that you know there's a message there. And they were very similar, but here's the situation. You got to know a little bit about Egyptian history. Egyptians put a lot of faith in dreams. I mean, these were superstitious people. They worshipped idols. They put a lot of faith in dreams. But we know they didn't put any faith in the God who gives dreams. They just put faith in dreams, random dreams. But they never put their faith in God who can give dreams. But these particular dreams bothered and troubled Pharaoh. So he did what any other superstitious person would do. He called for the magicians. And we know from Daniel that the magicians and the sorcerers and the wise men cannot interpret the dreams. And he said himself there was none to interpret the dream. Now, I think it was very wise of the magicians not to try to interpret the dream, because that could have meant certain disaster for them. But now we do know, here's the butler guy from prison. Suddenly, a light goes on. Somebody should have hit him with a bat after 2 years. But what I want to say is God's timing is perfect. Sometimes we don't like God's timing. We are uncomfortable with God's timing. I don't know why he waited 2 years. I don't know why God allowed him to not think of it before then. But there is likely a work that God had to do in some people's hearts and lives, and probably a greater work that Joseph did in prison that we won't know until we get to heaven. So then spoke the chief butler to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my wrong today. Today, 2 years later. Pharaoh was angry with his servant, and he put me in the prison. In the captain, I want you to hold this thought. He put me in prison in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. They both had their dreams in the same night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was there with us a young man who was a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, did he interpret.
And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored to my office, and him he got hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, this is significant, and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. So I have a word for all of us tonight. You know what? Stop dressing like a prisoner and start getting yourself ready to come before the king, because that pit you're in, that prison you're in, you got to get ready. You got to get yourself prepared, because you're going to stand in the presence of kings. You're going to minister. I like that part. So he's putting off his prison clothes and he's preparing to go before the king of Egypt. Verse 15 says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. And I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So we're about to hear from Joseph. And the first words out of Joseph's mouth, I absolutely love, love, love. And he says, he does not waste one second. As soon as he's there, he's dressed, he's ready, he's looking good. And 1 minute before he stands in front of the king, and verse 16 says, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Can't do it. Wow. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What does this mean? He's telling Pharaoh, I can't do this, but God is going to give you the interpretation and you're going to have peace. It's going to confirm with your spirit. You're going to know this is the right interpretation. And Pharaoh tells Joseph the dream. This is interesting. You haven't even heard the dream, Joseph. You know, that's a little, that takes faith. That takes faith. I haven't heard your dream yet, but I know God's going to give me an interpretation, and you're going to tell me the dream. I'm going to interpret the dream, and you're going to know it's God. Boy, that takes faith. And he says this twice. Let me read it. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Means there's one message here. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he is showing to Pharaoh. So he keeps saying, God's going to show you, Pharaoh. God's going to show you, Pharaoh. How many times do you have to hear that? He's honoring God in a land of horrible stuff. So he's telling Pharaoh, this dream is one message, and it is from God, and it is prophetic, and it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. So Joseph tells Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of famine here in Egypt. Not good news. Famine's going to take over the land. The famine's going to be harsh and grievous. And by the way, when the Bible uses the word grievous, death, there's going to be some loss here. The word grievous comes from grief. There's going to be loss here. The famine is going to be grievous. Loss of life, loss of cattle. And because the dream was twice, it is God making sure you get the message. You get the message. And two times. And Joseph says something else that extra that is important. He said, and God will bring this shortly to pass. This is going to begin soon. This is a prophetic dream. This is a warning. Now, what happens next is beyond amazing. Joseph is going to tell him what he should do. Joseph, on his own, is going to tell him. This is nothing to do with the interpretation. Joseph has a solution to the problem. This also is a gift from God. Hey, Pharaoh, this is what you need to do to get ready for the famine. You are the king. So if I was the king, if I was you, I would find a man who could be in charge of the preparations. Let's get ready for it. If we're going to have a famine, let's get ready for it. If a storm's coming, let's build the cellar. Let's get ready. And let him appoint officers to help. And let that man gather all the food in the good years that come and lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Get enough for the 7 years. Joseph has a plan. He doesn't just have an interpretation to the dream. He's like, if I had a dream and this was what was going to happen, this is what I would do. In order to do this, he has to believe the words of Joseph, Pharaoh, okay? So remember, Joseph's the type of Christ, Christ our provider in this situation. Do you know that we need to keep a reserve? The Bible talks about it in the storehouse. We should be prepared at all times. How do I prepare? Listen to Jesus. Do what he says. The Bible says God's people will never be found begging bread. I want to talk to you tonight. This is where it's going to get good. We're just about to get good. I want to talk to you about a couple interesting things tonight. Something I had never saw before. And I just want to prove something to you, that every single word in the Word is important. I want to prove to you and make a case that every little thing in God's Word is a big deal. I want to read you something. Genesis 40:4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, the prisoners, the butler and the baker, and the prisoner people. And he served them, and they continued a season for a period of time in the prison. Why does it matter who put Joseph in charge? I bet you don't quite get this. Let's find out, okay, who the captain of the guard is. Let me read verse 40 again. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the prison. Let's go back to Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, down here. This is a plot twist to this story. Most commentators, and I agree 100% with them, it says it multiple times, captain of the guard, captain of the guard, captain of the guard. It alludes to the fact, if you think about this, that Potiphar knew the truth. In the situation with Potiphar, it caused me to think, I'm going to give you my thoughts. It caused me to think that when Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar had issues, you know this, because she's already accusing someone else. She wants someone else. She's willing to falsely accuse. She's willing to blame her husband for it all by saying, Mr. Potiphar, you brought him into the house. So they have some issues, but his job description is captain of the guard. He is watching over the prisoners. And maybe, you know, the men came in. She called the men of the house, and they came in. Oh, he raped me, da-da-da. And then she told her husband, he raped me. Can you be with me for a second and think about, he likely had no choice. Joseph, in his household, the Bible said he lost nothing. He knew Joseph hadn't stolen from him. He knew in his heart, you know in your heart who a good man is. You know in your heart, but politics comes in. And so many times these kind of things, you will see them. You see them in the Bible. You see them in real life. I just kept thinking over and over, he knew. He knew. He knew Joseph was a good man. Who put Joseph in charge of his household? Potiphar. Who put Joseph, the captain of the guard, who put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners? The captain of the guard did this. We meet again. We meet again. There's been some type of reconciliation, or he just knows. And I think this was good in my heart to face this situation. But I want to tell you even a couple other interesting things that I see in this story, things that just really struck me. First, remember when Joseph told the butler to remember him, and he said some interesting words, in my opinion. He said, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. Not one single time did he give the names or say that, who did this? Who did this to you? He said, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And he doesn't say who wronged him. This is a very good thing because the brothers are coming to town. The brothers are going to come to town. He's not going to mention their names. He doesn't know that. He's just being led by God. This reveals his character and integrity. He's not even trying to make a case for himself. And he even does not talk about how he got in the prison since Potiphar. Watch this. Assuming that Potiphar is still the captain of the guard, and I believe 100% that he is, he never says how he got in prison. Our captain here, I did used to work at their house, and I did good for them, and this is where I am. He never says that. He did say, he's not trying to vindicate himself, but he did say here I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon. I'm innocent, but I am here. And he asked the butler, he said, pray, do me a kindness. Again, the word is hesed. He said, if it lie in your way, in other words, if you should ever have the opportunity. Now, I'm just not giving the guy a pass, the butler. I would say in 2 years you've had the opportunity, but you didn't do it because he himself said, I have discovered my wrong today. So he had opportunity. He didn't do it. He forgot him. And we should never forget someone who hurts it. But he was specific in his petition. And watch this. He said, bring me out of this house. Now, here's what I love about this in the heart of Joseph. He wasn't asking, get me my job back. Can you get me my job back? Can you get me a position? Can you get me a promotion? Can you do something for me? He just said, he's asking for enlargement, but he's not asking for preferredness. He's not. He's not seeking the promotion of man. He just wants to be out of this prison. My work is here. My work is finished. But here's the thing, the situation and the life lesson for us. When we are free, like the butler, from our prison, by God's divine protection and providence, when we are set free, we need to have enough compassion to remember that others are not yet set free, that others are on the outside. And we need to be willing to, and the king represents our Father God. We need to be willing to speak up at the king. Just do a kindness. Just tell the king to remember me. You know, help me out of this. Rescue me. And isn't that what Jesus did for us through our Joseph, Jesus Christ, rescued us. And he only realized this. I mean, we don't need to wait 2 years to start remembering that there are people out here. And by the way, this is a type of resurrection. This is a total type of resurrection. He was thrown in the pit. He was thrown in the prison. And eventually he gets resurrected and he winds up with the king. Bye-bye, Potiphar. Bye-bye, Mrs. Potiphar. I am going to work in the king's palace. Because here's the thing. The butler and the baker, they worked for the king, but Joseph worked for the King of Kings. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and we're going to close out in worship. But it's such a beautiful story of Christ, of how Christ is in. Joseph conducted himself with grace and he ministered to people when it was hard to minister. Did Jesus not minister all the way to the cross? Did he not minister when it was inconvenient, when he was in a hard place, when he too had his back lacerated like Paul's? Did he not do those same things 100 times over, over and over and over? And we are the representatives of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It doesn't matter who tries to take you down. It doesn't matter how far they try to pull you down. God is going to promote you. It is the pit. It is the prison. It is protection. It is promotion. And it is the palace. And that's where we wind up in the end. And next week, we're going to continue. This stuff gets really good. I'm just telling you, it gets really, really good. So God is with us. And thank God for the lessons we learned from Joseph and poor Baker. I don't know what he did.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.